Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's at TicketKing.com.
They cover. That's a nice hit movement there by the quarterback. Huntley is picked off again. Picked off on the near side by Weddle. His second interception in this many games.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the audience.
Get those back.
So I think that's the logical explanation.
Let's just, you know, say that didn't happen.
It was a return to greatness. It was a return to form.
It's crazy. And he just kind of flew under the radar.
Get this out there so I sound good on Cheesehead Radio.
Yeah.
No negativity allowed, sir.
So I think that's actually going to be really exciting to watch. I don't think there's anything positive we can say. There's a lot.
Oh, you were looking for positive. Yeah.
I guess that's what I meant. Positive, I guess. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Cheesehead Radio. Your hosts tonight are the postulatory C.D. Angeli of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV, the disincentivized Michelle Bruton of Cheesehead TV, Bleacher Report, and a thousand other places. Jamie Snowden is not with us tonight. She's getting some much-needed rest. And the other host, of course, is little old me, Jersey Al, of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Network this year are the fine folks at Ticket King, who've been with us for 2 years now. They've been selling Packers, Badgers, and other tickets in Wisconsin for over 25 years and have earned a reputation for excellent customer service and prices. Looking for tickets for the remaining home games? Be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com. So I guess it's time to get this show started with some Packers news.
Packers news.
Well, we'll get things started off tonight with a story you can hopefully find some humor in amidst the recent sorrow that has invaded Packers Nation. On Sunday, a brew pub in Milwaukee, the Bavarian Beer House, offered a game day special that in past weeks might have lasted mere minutes. Free beer until the Packers scored. Of course, the Bavarian Beer House overestimated the scoring prowess of the current iteration of the 2017 Packers, who, as everyone knows, got shut out by the Baltimore Ravens 23-0. At least the despondent fans were able to drown their sorrows for free.
Now, the question is, are they still getting free beer until the next game?
Right, until the next score. Might not even be the next game.
Oh, boy. Well, speaking of substances, running back Aaron Jones has been charged with operating a vehicle with a restricted controlled substance, which I hear by rumor is marijuana, operating without a valid license, and speeding stemming from a traffic stop back in October. Now, Jones, who is currently out with a sprained MCL, could face league discipline stemming from the result of the legal action.
Jones isn't the only Packer set to or in danger of missing this Sunday's game with the Steelers due to injury. Kenny Clark will be out with an ankle injury he suffered against the Ravens, and Clay Matthews left the game as well with a groin injury that could keep him off the field too in Week 12.
Now, my man, safety Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, called to hit that injured Clark a cheap shot by Ravens center Ryan Jensen. Quote, "That's what that guy's been doing all year," Clinton Dix said after the game. "I've been watching film of 66, and he is a dirty player."
Strong words. Clinton Dix. Well, the Packers are lucky, however, that the injury doesn't appear to threaten the rest of Clark's season. Clark's official diagnosis was a high ankle sprain, but he didn't suffer serious structural damage. Clark's been having a terrific sophomore year, so that's a little bit of good news amidst all the injury woes.
Now, speaking of young players stepping up, now if Matthews does miss time this Sunday against the Steelers, that'll provide a big opportunity for rookie pass rusher Vince Beagle, who is himself has only recently took the field after suffering a foot injury this offseason. Now, Beagle hasn't taken many snaps so far this season, but given how much preparation he missed, he's looking extremely promising.
The Packers and the Steelers will meet on Sunday Night Football as originally scheduled this week. The game won't be flexed. It might, however, also not be pretty. The Steelers opened as 2-touchdown favorites after the Packers shutout loss to the Ravens in Week 11.
When was the last time the Green Bay Packers were double-digit underdogs? I can't even think of a time.
I read it earlier today, and I don't remember, but it's been a long time.
It's like 1942, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, this loss also sent the Packers tumbling in the power rankings after climbing all the way up to number 19. Oh, boy. With a win over the Bears in Week 10, the Packers fell back down to number 23 after the loss to the Ravens.
But, you know, the Packers shouldn't feel too badly about the lack of confidence in them heading into Week 12. If the NFL playoffs started today, 8-2 Pittsburgh would be the number one seed in the AFC over even the Patriots. Not many teams would have been favored over the Steelers this week.
And finally, you've been following former Packers pass rusher Dayton Jones on his tour around the NFL since the Packers declined to sign him in free agency. He was just waived by a fourth team this season, the San Francisco 49ers. The Packers have been criticized recently for their personnel moves, but perhaps they got this one right.
About drafting him.
Oh,
sorry, Michelle.
No, that was, I'm glad you got that in. That was your Packers news of the week. And now it's time for your
Packer tweets from Packer Tweets.
Okay, so starting us off this week is Sports Talk Joe, who imagined a Sunday conversation going through the quarterback coach communication helmet pretty much like this. Brett Hundley, what's the play, coach? Mike McCarthy, sweating profusely, just do a TD pass like Aaron does. Hundley, what? McCarthy, now crying. Stop looking at me.
That was beautiful dramaturgy there.
Great.
Al.
It was a wonderful
acting
reading,
that out.
I know.
Yeah. Well, a little bit of common sense was thrown out on Twitter by @AlYoYo, who perhaps after pondering the booing fans in Lambeau contemplate, over the last few weeks, we've gone from title town to entitled town. The Brett Hundley hate is a tad overblown. Have a fresca and chill.
Fresca. Yes, Brett Hundley had a bad day on Sunday, but things could always be worse, as Aaron Nagler reminded us. Brett Hundley, that's how you throw a game away. Nathan Peterman, hold my beer. That's cruel.
Yeah.
But funny.
Take the heat off a little bit. But finally, @ByRyanWood sums up all the fan hysteria with a simple reminder of what happened just a year ago. 1 year ago, Packers were 4-6 entering Thanksgiving. They had no real chance to recover. Their season was over. This year, they're one game better at 5-5, but given no real chance to recover. Their season, over. Maybe Brett Hundley needs to say this team can run the table.
That was a nice table, wasn't it? Nice to know Ryan isn't throwing in a towel. But either way, that was the Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
Yeah. Sorry, it just requires a yeah. two notes on the news. I didn't want to interrupt, although I did in a couple of times. Too much in the news, but one thing. Expect a tweet calling you a loser from Mike Neal for talking about Aaron Jones. That's the first thing. And the second thing is Vince Beagle. Is that how we have to say his name? Beagle? Because each time you said his name, you pretty much yelled it out. So I don't know if that's a thing now.
Boy, you know, he's the regal Beagle.
Yeah.
He's the only thing to be excited about, so.
Okay.
We're kind of at that point. Vince
okay.
Beagle. It's kind of a cool name to say.
Right,
which is
just
better,
wondering.
Of course, than, you know, everything else we have to talk about right now, which is, of course, dissecting everything that happened on Sunday.
The Playbook.
I'd honestly rather do a whole show on Vince Beagle.
I kind of would, too. Unfortunately, I think we're going to end up doing a whole show on Brett Hundley, which is nowhere near as fun. Okay, so
yeah,
let's just hit that right
away. This will be known
as
the Hundley episode.
It will. So here it is. So the title of the show. Title of the show.
Yes. Let's
Mary
get
Date
to
or
it.
Dump. Yes. Mary Date or Dump.
Mary
Did you guys ever
dump.
Play that game, Mary Date or Dump? Some people use different words instead of Mary Date
in
or Dump.
In different forms, yes. In different forms.
Yes.
We get the idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are you know, we're kind of changing the rules here. Instead of having three people to decide between, we're just going to have Brett Hundley. And we're going to decide where do we stand on this guy, Mary Date or Dump. Now, Mike McCarthy is definitely in the Mary camp at this point. Came out and said, you know, Brett Hundley is our guy. We're going to burn the tape. I don't care. Here's my ring. You know, we are committed to Brett Hundley no matter what, through thick and thin, till death do us part, or until Aaron Rodgers comes back. If you kind of, I don't know if you've picked up on anything off Twitter or comments on websites or call-ins to radio shows, I don't think everyone in Packer Nation agrees. So where do you guys stand? Are you in the Mary camp where we are going to stick with Brett Hundley all the way until we get Aaron Rodgers back? Are you dating him? Let's take it another couple weeks here, but you know, if we have a bad date, we're kind of done. Or are you in the dump camp? Are you just ready? Send this guy out of town on a rail. We're done. What do you think?
Well, I would interpret the dating category to be not that it lasts a couple weeks and you might be able to bail, but more that you're so enamored with the person that you can't see their flaws, that they can do no wrong in your eyes. And if that's the case, I don't think anybody is in the date camp. I think at least with the Mary camp, I think deep down, obviously, Mike McCarthy can see Brett Hundley's flaws and acknowledges them, but he's committed to him. So for better or worse, he has to accept them. but, you know, if you start talking about dumping, I mean, that's when you get into Nathan Peterman territory. You know, do they, if they put in Callahan and he looks god awful, it just, the train is pretty much already derailed, smoldering on the side of the tracks. But if they do that, the whole thing might just blow up.
Jersey Al, are you ready to marry Brett Hundley?
You know, I'm going to have to go with till death do us part or Aaron Rodgers comes back, one or the other. I don't see Joe Callahan being an answer. I don't see any possibility of going out and getting anybody else at this point. It's going to have to be Brett and I, till death do us part, or Aaron Rodgers breaks up the happy marriage.
So it's a marriage of convenience until someone better comes along.
Well, until the better person does come along.
Yes, the person you're actually married to.
Yes. It's not a supposition.
It's a very complicated
relationship.
This has really become a complicated relationship. I'm not sure we wanted to have this conversation.
You started it.
All right. Well,
how about you, kind sir?
Thanks. I think I made my statement clear in my article this week. I think it almost doesn't matter because Mike McCarthy has made this commitment. He said it right away when people started asking him about Colin Kaepernick, and he said, "We're not going to sign Colin Kaepernick. We're not going to sign anybody." Okay. So what are you going to do? You're stuck with these two guys. You're not going to put in Joe Callahan. Joe Callahan is going to be a train wreck, especially you don't put him in against the Steelers, for Christ's sake. Are you kidding? Oh, my God. I mean, Brett Hundley is going to get killed next Sunday. I don't know. I was going to say, what's worse than being killed? I guess I don't know. Joe Callahan would be worse than killed. I don't know what that would be, but it would be worse, whatever it is.
Shamed on national television. It's worse than death.
Yeah. So I guess I'm between this married date thing. I think if Hundley were to get to a point where he really did completely, who was the guy we had he used to play quarterback for the Bengals. Remember we had him for a preseason game, Smith, Akili? Was it Akili Smith we had for a preseason game? And he just absolutely. Didn't we have him?
Got me on that one.
All right. Well, remember we had some quarterback. He used to play for Cleveland or for Cincinnati, and he just went in a preseason game and must have thrown like 3-4 interceptions. And, you know, he was standing on the sideline and nobody was within like 30 feet of him. I mean, he was on an island and he was cut the next day. If it gets to that point to where you really feel like the team has completely said, "Oh, man, you're a pariah," Brett Hundley, and I don't think you've got that impression right now. I really don't think you have the impression that the team has given up on him. But I think if it were to happen, I think it'll be obvious. I don't think he's going to get better next week. I think that Tampa Bay and Cleveland are good places to show improvement. But I think next week's going to be a rough one no matter what. So I guess I'm married too for now.
You're married also? Were you thinking of Seneca Wallace?
No, it wasn't Seneca. Oh, my gosh, you're going to make me look it up now. Where is Jamie?
I was just Googling around while you were talking about it, and he was with the Packers in, like, 2003. Is that when you were thinking?
That could have been it. Yeah.
Akili Smith.
See? Akili Smith, he played in a preseason game and just absolutely was horrible. Horrible in just the preseason game.
Okay. We'll believe you.
See?
Since nobody else remembers.
Oh. Thank you, Michelle, for making me not look dumb on national radio.
You know, I do what I can.
Most embarrassing.
And that's a tough job, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to let you two talk about this because I got to go in the green room for a second. So talk away.
Okay.
Most embarrassing Packers loss of this decade.
What do you think, Michelle?
So,
would you agree with that?
Take topic. I mean, so the last time the Packers were shut out was 11 years to the day of Sunday. So if we're defining it as a decade, well, right. So this is their first shutout within the last decade. Ergo, I think it has to be the most embarrassing loss.
Well, there's one other candidate that I can think of, which was not a shutout by any means, but probably as embarrassing a loss as I can remember, except for the Sundays, was the championship game against Seattle.
That's exactly what I was thinking too.
The classic meltdown. I mean, meltdown of all meltdowns, where different things, you had to do 10 different things wrong to lose that game, and we found a way to do it. And that's the only other candidate I can think of.
Yeah, I agree.
But,
and with that one, you know, because the stakes were so much higher and because it was, I mean, is it more embarrassing to let a lead like that slip away, or is it more embarrassing to not score any points at all?
Yeah, I guess that one, I guess maybe that one was more hurtful, and maybe getting shut out at home 23-0 is more embarrassing. How about if we classify them that way?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
So that one's the arbiters of embarrassment.
So it shall be written. As we have deemed here. But gosh,
I would be curious to know if anyone has any other candidates, because I don't think, which says a lot. I mean, you know, the Cleveland Browns, you could sit here for a whole day and come up with embarrassing candidates.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too tough. No, but yeah, interesting take there. But in any case, I think it might be time for our special guest. Maybe.
Oh, hang on. Stop that.
Cheesehead Radio. Special guest.
All right.
That would be your cue.
Yeah.
And it's our cue. Yeah. Peter Bukowski is joining us live right now on Cheesehead Radio. He of Super Bowl Nation and Locked on the Packers podcast. Peter, how are you?
I am very good. How are you guys and girls?
Good, good. Welcome back.
Thanks, Peter. Good catch.
Thank you for having me.
It's nice.
Women, sorry.
hey, no, it's
Peter
awesome.
You need a mulligan.
Did you guys know that Michelle is the only returning guest on Locked on Packers? It's true. The only two-time guest on my podcast.
Wow.
It's apparently because
so far,
I'm
there will be more, but, you know.
And not combative. Or I make you nice. Not
yeah, this
nice.
Is an inside joke that no one's going to get except Michelle and I, but that's okay.
Awesome. All right, we're going to take some questions around the horn. We're looking forward to you talking us all off the ledge. I'm just going to start us out. Believe it or not, I'm going to start out with a question about Brett Hundley.
What?
Who?
No, I'm serious. I had to play quarterback for the Packers on Sunday. You know, I spent some time and I looked back at the scouting reports on this guy before he was even drafted.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost verbatim. I mean, it's verbatim of everything I've been saying for weeks, that we've all seen
sure.
for weeks. Lack mm-hmm. of accuracy beyond 15 yards. You know, all of his completions were short-range passes. He had pressure awareness issues. He would lock in
mm-hmm.
on his receivers.
Mm-hmm.
We knew this. Do you think the
mm-hmm.
coaching staff saw a huge change from what the scouts saw in 2015, or are they just trying to make something out of nothing here?
This is a really good question, and I think it is sort of the fundamental question. Tom Silverstein wrote in the Journal Sentinel this week about Green Bay made one of two miscalculations. Either they see something – they see a talent that isn't there, or they've mishandled and mismanaged that talent. And we're to the point really where those are the only two options, because Mike McCarthy, I don't know if you've heard, but he believes in Brett Hundley. And he said that about 800 times in press conferences over the last 4 weeks. And, I understand why it's hard for a lot of Packer fans to understand why he believes that. And one of the things I think that was telling Monday at his press conference, he said, you know, at a certain point you are what you put on film. And to me, that speaks directly to what Brett Hundley is in practice. And I think it speaks also to what you miss in practice versus a game. I think it is not only possible, but likely that Brett Hundley looks great in practice, because he's got all the arm talent in the world. He can make throws. And when he is decisive with the ball, he can put the ball where he wants it. And he can do it with considerable force when necessary. And in the real games, when teams can game plan for you, when they can scout you, when they can read your tendencies, And when your coach decides that teams are going to drop seven and you're only going to send two out in the route, that is a very different beast than practice. And so I know we're talking about practice, but it's not a game. And that's important. And so the 3 years in the system thing, I think that's so totally overblown. He knows the system. There was that great play, and I'm sure you guys will remember, in the second half, he sends Jamal Williams, who is in the backfield. They're in a 4-by-1 set. They send Jamal Williams out. And it's not in the play call. And he's directing traffic. He's using his hand signals. He's doing all the things that we would see Aaron Rodgers do. He's directing traffic. He's making the calls. And he throws a laser to Devontae Adams for a first down. And my first thought is, where is that guy 90% of the rest of the time? And so I don't have the answer. I don't know the answer. But my suspicion is that in practice, this is what the coaches see. And that once the game comes, he's a little bit overwhelmed by it because he's so inexperienced. The freest he's played, I know he threw 3 picks in the Vikings game, but the most free I've seen him play since he's been in Green Bay, frankly, outside of the first drive against Baltimore, is that Vikings game, because I think he had confidence. I think he expected to play well. And frankly, Minnesota made a couple nice plays to get interceptions. The Harrison Smith interception was an incredible play by him. The first pick was a tip. And the last pick was, you know, trying to make a play down double digits in the red zone when he's about to get crushed. I mean, I think in some ways that was his best or at least most promising game outside of the second half against Chicago. So I don't know what to make of Brett Hundley at this point, but the point that I've been trying to make to Packers Twitter, and probably why you think I'm going to talk you off the ledge, is that can we just chill out? It's been 4 starts. Like, come on. Brett Favre was garbage for most of his first 4 starts. Peyton Manning was terrible for like his whole first 3 years in the league. And Jared Goff was talked about as the worst quarterback like since David Klingler last year. And this year he's a borderline MVP candidate. So can we just chill a little bit? That's where I am.
Perfect. And I tend to agree. Michelle.
All right. So we talked on Locked On Packers earlier this year, Peter, about how
shameless plug.
Yeah.
You'll get plenty.
About how Martellus Bennett was going to change the Packers offense. Obviously those hopes crashed and burned.
That take didn't age well, huh?
No. But the question,
worst Packer takes.
Yes. That we all shared mostly. But the question I'm left with now is, given his limitations, do you think that Brett Hundley would fare noticeably better if he had a top-level tight end to use as a safety net to bail him out?
No.
I mean, how different would he look? You don't think it would?
I think I hate to, I was supposed to come in to give you guys all hope, and I've done the opposite so far. No, I don't think it would. Because, well, I'll do my best. The truth as I see it, right? If we
exactly.
want to get a really, if we want to get really existential on this podcast, but is my truth the same as your truth? I don't know. But no, I think the problems for Brett Hundley is not about personnel, because I've watched the games. I watched the all 22, and guys are open. And he's just not pulling the trigger. And he's sort of making plays in spite of himself at times, you know, like the Devontae. Or let me give you a better example. The Saints game, he runs in the touchdown, right? And it's a great play. And it is. And Michelle, we talked about that play, too, on Locked On Packers, which you can follow the Twitter handle at Locked On Packers, and you can find all the podcast content at LockedOnPackers.com.
is that Locked On Packers?
I think still it still is Locked On Packers.
Okay.
But we're going, Brett, please don't ever do that again.
Yeah.
Because he tried to lower his shoulder to get in the end zone. It's like, oh, just you, we can have first and goal at the one. That's fine. But he had Jordy Nelson initially on that play. He scrambles to his left. Jordy breaks to his left, and he's got Jordy again for a touchdown. He's got Jordy twice on that play. He passes it up, and he makes a great play. I don't think the problem is personnel. This is not the problem of, oh, well, he's standing back there and holding the ball because no one's open most of the time. Now, I threw a little shade at McCarthy in one of my earlier answers because I'm so sick. Do you guys remember the little guy who did the speech from Miracle? He goes, I'm sick of tired instead of sick and tired. Only Michelle.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I am sick of tired of these two-man routes with Max Protect. Stop it. Enough. Brett Hundley is not going to find one of two guys against seven defensive backs. He's just not going to do it. So please, for the love of God, stop calling it. I don't understand. Like, it hasn't worked yet. So why are we still calling it? It just doesn't make sense. It's cutting off your nose to spite your Brett Hundley shaped face. This is the guy that you have. And so put him in a better position to succeed. Michelle, maybe you can tell me what you think would change with, let's say they have pre ACL Jermichael Finley on this team. What changes?
I guess my thought with it was, you know, obviously he's not utilizing Jordy Nelson. He's underutilizing the weapons at his disposal. But
right.
I don't know that even Jermichael Finley would get it done. I think if he had the type of player that Martellus Bennett was supposed to be at his disposal, just a big, athletic tight end who he could get in the seam or – you know, on slant, you know, just things that he's not going to go more than 10 yards with them, but he has a quick kind of release valve to dump the ball off to. And he does seem to do better when he's kind of throwing out toward the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sort of my thought, was just if he had that kind of big athletic option that could get open on his own and just sort of have a place to dump the ball, especially in some of the plays where he seems to just want to take off running rather than sit there and, you know, allow something to open up.
By the way, just like Brett Hundley, take off. We're good. Like, please take off. I wrote about this for SB Nation today. Run. If it's not there, and this is something that they teach college quarterbacks, right? This is always the big question come draft time. If it's not there, this is always seen as a negative, of course. Quarterback X takes off. This was Colin Kaepernick did this. And probably would still do this. And I would say, okay, good. I'm glad he did that. Because his biggest issue is holding on to the ball. Get to the top of your drop. If the guy you want to throw it to isn't open, run. And don't run backward, please. And don't run 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage trying to escape pressure to throw to Mike McCarthy on the sidelines. Take
and always steps. To your right.
Right. Take three steps forward. And see what you can do. And he did it a couple times against the Ravens. And I was like, see, Brett, come on. And luckily, I'm conditioned as a Packers fan to scream obscenities about Brett at a TV, my quarterback named Brett. This is just not what I expected to see. And every time Aaron Rodgers would take off, I sort of would hold my breath. And I just – Brett Hundley's the backup. So I don't have to care as much.
Well, Peter, that kind of leads me into my question. And, of course, we're going all Hundley all the time here on this episode. But I'm going to give you a little bit of a Mike McCarthy twist on this one, because I've been kind of saying for the last few games that McCarthy isn't really doing Hundley a lot of favors.
And
I know you're with him because I listened to your podcast where you talked to that NFL scout. And you guys touched on that a little bit.
Mm.
So do you mind just kind of touching on that topic in more detail for our listeners?
Sure. It was one of those things that I had been thinking and tweeting about and it hadn't struck me. And when he said it, it kind of knocked me on my ass. John Middlecoff, who's a former NFL scout, was on the show and I won't shamelessly plug it again. I think that bit ran its course. He said, why don't they have a package for Brett Hundley for like break in case of emergency? Aaron Rodgers twists his ankle or, you know, tweaks something and he's got to sit the rest of the game or he's going to miss a game or two. Where is the 5 or 10 package plays for Brett Hundley? The zone reads, maybe run a little option, just some like fun gimmicky stuff. It's just 5 or 10 plays. Just like these are the plays he's good at. Let's just run them. Now maybe they exist and he screwed them up or they didn't work or something. But I think after the game, you may recall McCarthy admitted that the game plan would have to change with Brett Hundley and that he more or less called the offense with Hundley the way that they had prepped. This is the game plan. He's got a very rigid prep and the play sheet, the Wendy's menu that McCarthy has it's got down distances on it and plays for it. And he sort of works off that play sheet. And I think sometimes he can get a little bit too rigid. Mike Lombardi calls it the difference between running an offense and calling plays. And I have felt very much like Brett Hundley has been Mike McCarthy has been calling plays for Brett Hundley, not running an offense. And I am disappointed that they have not put in more runs for Hundley. I think in 4 starts, they've called 2 designed runs and they weren't even designed runs. They were zone reads. And so he may have kept the ball. Call the zone read 10 times a day. I don't understand why. What's the downside? I mean, Middlecoff, who is a very outspoken and brash dude, and it's sort of why he's great, was just like, what's the downside? You lose more games that you're probably going to lose anyway, or he gets hurt and you have to play Joe Callahan? Well, you're losing anyway. So why not go down swinging with your quarterback's best traits, which is his legs? I mean, this is one of I mentioned this in the piece that I wrote for SB Nation. Brett Hundley does not get enough credit for the athlete that he is. By relative athlete score, which is a cool measure that Kent LaPlatte, who's a Lions fan, don't hold it against him, created. And it's basically your athleticism relative to other players at your position. Hundley is one of the 10 or 15 most athletic quarterbacks to come out of the draft in the last 20 years. And to just expect him to sit in the pocket and make plays and you know, sit back there and be Tom Brady, it just doesn't make sense. And when you see other teams, I mentioned this the other day on Twitter, when you see Brett Hundley and you see someone like Deshaun Watson, I mean, Bill O'Brien, who I do not think is a better offensive coach than Mike McCarthy, remaking his offense on the fly to cater to the traits of Deshaun Watson, I'm going, hey, Mike, Brett Hundley is not Aaron Rodgers, so stop trying to make him be. And it's just, to me, my only explanation for this at this point is hubris, that Mike McCarthy wants to prove that this guy that he's invested in, that looks good in practice, can be the guy that he wants him to be in this offense, and it's costing his team wins right now.
100% wow. Agree. 100%.
Wow, yeah. Nice.
There was I had a quote in the story. My mom likes to say can't lives on won't street. And it's not that Brett Hundley can't be an effective NFL quarterback. It's that his coach won't put him in a position to succeed. And the sort of money line in the story is that it looks like Won't Street intersects with McCarthy Way. Because he will not. Zing. We need the rap air horn. Choo 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 choo.
Petey, I'm sure you've got one.
I'm really thinking Petey needs to start doing some TED talks. Is what I'm starting to think.
But it's just one of those things where you can't. There's the fake Mark Twain quote, right? It's not really Mark Twain, but the about the fish and you know, like everyone has this unique ability, but if a fish spent its whole life believing it could climb trees, then you know it's never gonna believe it can do anything. Well, like this is the fish trying to climb the tree right now. Let the fish swim, and maybe you can run an effective offense, but he won't do it.
Wow, metaphor madness tonight. You are swimming in metaphors tonight, Pete. You are
nice.
Yeah, I'm still on McCarthy way.
Won't streak.
Man. All right. Switching gears. Aaron Jones, been a really bright spot mm-hmm. for the team this year. Prior to getting injured, but now he's got a marijuana charge. And has
yep.
dimmed maybe that spot a little bit for the season. Now, he made a very quick mea culpa. He's taken some accountability. But I remember going back when he was drafted and reading about him, and he had a little driving while intoxicated issue at UTEP. And I remember thinking at the time, I said, okay, remember when Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy used to talk about Packer people? Interesting here. Where do you see this going? Is he going to lose some time? Is this going to have any impact on his standing with the team? Or is this just going to be another, just kind of brush it by and he'll be back playing really soon?
I wish that the idea of Packer people had never been brought up. And not because I don't think such a thing should exist. It's just pretty clear at this point, such a thing does not exist.
Right.
And it doesn't exist in the NFL writ large. And so the idea that it somehow exists in Green Bay when we have all evidence to the contrary just is silly. Now, that's not totally true. Like, I don't think the Packers ever in a million years would have drafted Gerrion Conley. I don't think they would have drafted Joe Mixon. They do draw certain lines in that way. But once a guy is on the team, this is a business. You know, like Eric Walden, that was a minor issue for the Packers in what seemed like a much more major issue and maybe would be a bigger deal now given the environment that we live in and God willing it would be. But it's just pretty clear that Green Bay doesn't care that much. And they're just not going to say – they're not going to sacrifice talent just like any other team wouldn't at the cost of the player unless the player is a problem in the locker room. Or their issues are costing them time off the field. So, like, Jalen Collins was cut today by Atlanta. He was already on suspension number two, I think, right? He had just come off a 10-game PED suspension. He's a really talented player. I don't think he would have ever been on Green Bay's team to begin with, but I also don't think they would have cut him like Atlanta did. And so, like, let's just not play this game. Like, I don't think fans care, frankly, about the players and what they're doing unless they're really bad, like unless they're really doing some ugly stuff. But don't say you are doing a thing. Don't try and take the moral high ground and then act this way because they're just incongruous.
So I kind of hit a soft spot with that whole Packer people thing, didn't I?
I think it's garbage. Like, especially with marijuana. He did not fail a field sobriety test. Wisconsin has a no tolerance policy on weed. I understand that. But if he wasn't intoxicated, give him a ticket, move on. Like, I don't care personally about it. But, like, I understand, okay, if it's in the car, like, if he's doing dumb stuff, this was obviously dumb, but on the scale of dumb to, like, heinously and grievously dumb, there, I think it's reasonable people can agree that there's a spectrum of these things, right? And he didn't do what Joe Mixon did, so let's not act like he did. But don't act like you have the moral high ground and then, like, not do anything when LaTroy Guyon gets popped with cash and guns in his car. Like, that was not the last straw for Green Bay. He played after that. Like, the last straw was he was hurt and couldn't play anymore and kind of sucked at the end. So, like, let's just not play this game. Just do what every other NFL team does and not pretend like you're taking the moral high ground unless you're Jerry Jones and you're just, like, a crazed psychopath. And, you know, thank God the Packers don't have an owner that does that. But it's not like the idea – like, Packer people as an idea – is any less offensive to my sensibilities because it's like, you're not living it. So don't say it. And that's fine because no one says it or no one does it. So, okay, that's fine. I mean, not okay. That's fine. Let's move on. Let's talk about literally anything.
Okay.
Else.
Anything else? Michelle, save us.
Anything, Michelle? Anything.
All right. I'll toss you a super softball. We can talk about a piece that you wrote recently that I really enjoyed, because, you know, a big problem obviously for the Packers this year has been third downs in general, but Hundley in particular is really struggling on third and short.
Mm-hmm.
He's 2-8 in those situations. So you read about that a little bit. Do you want to tell us about what you see as the problem and what you think he can do to improve?
Here's the problem with Brett Hundley in general, and we talked about it a little bit. He struggles to make decisions, and I don't know if it is a processing issue or if it is a decision-making issue. And frankly, with his grasp of the offense, I think he knows where the ball needs to go. I think he knows what the defense is going to give him most of the time. I think he is afraid to make mistakes. And so as a result, the ball is often not out when it needs to be and not where it needs to be. And on third and short, most of the time you've got quick throws that you've got to make. And so that does not play to his strength. The other thing is, teams mostly play man coverage on third and short, especially man coverage, mostly teams. And they've played a lot of them lately. So how do you combat that? Okay, well, number one, maybe run the ball once in a while on third and short when you're one of the best running teams on a per-play basis in the league. So that's just number one. And if you're going to throw the ball, that's fine. But have it be part of the play call. Okay, if this first thing that we're going to do is not there, take off. Just go. Just run the ball. And one of the things that I really like about what the Seahawks do and what the Cowboys do and even the Chiefs do, and I mentioned this in the piece, like even the Jaguars do it with Blake Bortles, who, if Packers fans think Brett Hundley's bad, like Blake Bortles, dear God. But the thing that that Green Bay can do is that the good teams do. Let's not imitate anything Jacksonville does, except like draft Jalen Ramsey. Is they use the zone read and the quarterback running very, very smartly, and they use it in the red zone and they use it on third down. Because the one player who's often unaccounted for on third down is the quarterback, because teams are not going to blitz on third and short. They're playing man coverage, which means everyone is running with receivers. So there's no one to account for the quarterback, especially if you're a rush four drop seven team, which most teams have been against Green Bay. The Ravens, they brought some pressure, but it was mostly five man pressure. They didn't bring a lot of like six and seven, like all out kind of blitz stuff. So the perfect anecdote for that is, hey, maybe run a quarterback draw out of empty, or have it built into the play like any college quarterback, or a lot of the running-based college quarterbacks is, if number one option is covered, run. But here's the problem, Michelle, and this is back to your original question about the tight end. Ben Fennell and I were just talking about this on Twitter. There was a play on third down in the Ravens game. They ran a rub route, and it was perfectly executed. Jordy Nelson sort of blocks his man inside, and Lance Kendricks is wide open on the boundary for a first down, and Hundley just doesn't pull the trigger and ends up getting sacked. And
yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, so then we need to build into this play or this offense the idea that if you don't have it, just take off. And if that means just getting 2 or 3 yards or living to fight another day, that's great, because it's better than 2nd and 18 or 4th and 18. And so the best thing that he does is run. Create more opportunities for him to use that, because then what a team has to do is it has to set up spies. You've got to take guys out of coverage to account for the quarterback. And it allows you to get the play action game. If you're running zone read, then now you can go to RPOs. You can go to more play action. There's this huge trickle down effect of using your quarterback in the run game more effectively. And we've seen it all the time. I mean, how much more effective are the Cowboys now when they're healthy, but because of the running game and the running ability of Dak Prescott? And how much more effective anytime the Seahawks offense bogs down or they have a critical third down that they need to convert, what play do they run? They run the zone read. And 9 times out of 10, Russell keeps it and he picks up 20 yards and he does his Russell Wilson thing. Even if he was 8 for 20 before that with a pick, he's going to go win the game because that's what he does. But it's the run game that sets that up. It's his running ability that sets that up. And I just think it's a weapon. You don't have to create an offense. This doesn't have to be the 2012 49ers where he's going to take off 10 or 12 or 15 times, but have it be something that they do on third and short so that at least we create an option here to let Brett Hundley help us win with his legs more often than he's being asked to do now.
Right. You don't have to be a read option team the way you'd think of the, you know, late 2012, 2013, 49ers, Seahawks type. But there are plenty of teams in the league this year even that are not read option teams that are still running the option with great success.
Yes.
And the Packers just seem to be completely unwilling to even dip their toes in that water.
It's frustrating. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote the piece. And it's one of the, you know, it's one of those things about McCarthy. I made the comparison to Tom Thibodeau for basketball fans. I think McCarthy is great when he's got the guys who buy in and can run his system. The system can work and he can do it. And when he has guys who are a little bit younger and he's got to teach it and he's got to adapt it, he struggles. And I think that's just where we are. Now, I think any talk of, you know, there needs to be a change and a new voice and all that stuff. It's like, okay, let's play a fun game. Let's go around the circle here, around the bonfire, and say what we think the Packers' record would be if Aaron Rodgers were healthy, and then tell me we need to fire McCarthy. Can we just do that? Let's go. See,
well,
you're
what
laughing
do you think
because
it would be?
You know.
Silence.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's like it, there are 82 at worst. Like, we know the answer.
Right.
Yeah.
So do we need to overreact to the thing that Brett Hundley's not good? Okay, right now, that's true. He's not good. That's fine. But if Aaron Rodgers is on this team, they're a Super Bowl contender. Everyone agrees with what I just said, right?
I do.
So let's not overreact again. Let's just chill out a little bit. I know it's hard. It sucks. It sucks. Like, this is the thing, right? Brett Hundley made the 3 or 4 plays against Chicago that a quarterback needs to make to win you a game. And he made a 3 or 4 plays against Baltimore that a quarterback needs to make to win the game, except he won it for the wrong team. And Packer fans are used to their quarterback not just making 3 or 4 plays, but because the defense has been so bad for so long, he's got to make 5 or 6 plays every game. And he makes them every game. And not seeing that out of your quarterback is infinitely frustrating. I totally, totally understand that. It's very frustrating. You know, I have to have beer in my fridge at all times on Sundays, specifically for this reason, and bourbon on hand, because it is frustrating to do. It's frustrating to watch.
Hear, hear.
Okay. We have been speaking with Peter Bukowski. Be sure you check out his Locked On Packers podcast at LockedOnPackers.com. More plugs. Peter, you've been a great guest tonight. You've really entertained us. We've got one more question for you before we let you go and have a bourbon, a scotch, and a beer. I threw in a scotch. I don't know if you drink scotch, but anyway.
I do. I don't have any right now, though, so that's a good reminder to go get some before Thanksgiving.
There you go. All right, so my question is, Jordy Nelson has hardly been seen since Rodgers went down, right? Which could speak volumes to the importance of specific quarterback-receiver connections. On the other hand, Davante Adams has thrived with Hundley. What do you think is going on here?
Davante Adams is the number one receiver on this team.
Thank you.
I don't know what else you can draw from it. He is He is consistently open. He is the guy that I would trust in a jump ball situation. I mean, we saw Jordy Nelson. Hundley tried to make a throw on the free play to Jordy in one-on-one coverage against Brandon Carr in the end zone. And, I mean, yep. Jordy looked like he couldn't jump over a phone book on that play. And he's lost so much, I think, so much of his, athletically speaking, that his value is almost entirely on his sort of preternatural connection with Aaron Rodgers. And they're, you know, it's like ESPN or something. And that's a Mean Girls reference that I'm glad Michelle got and no one else got.
How stereotypical of only me to get that. Come on, guys.
I saw that movie three
millennials.
Times in the movie theater, I will say. But
yeah,
no,
it's because we're millennials,
think,
Peter. It's not.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. But it's one of those things where I do wonder if let me just turn the question around for a second and not in a rhetorical way like the last one was. If I gave you an over-under of 1.5 of Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb being on this team next year at their current contract rates, what would your answer be? Would you take the over or the under?
1.5. So both or just one, basically.
Right. Well, or zero.
Yeah. I'd have to go with under.
I think so, too.
I would think that only one of the two. I couldn't say which one, but I'd have to say one of the two will not be here.
And I don't know if it'll be that they won't be on the team, although I think if you're going to pick one of them, I think it's Randall Cobb, frankly, who, I mean, when he got run down in the open field by a linebacker against Chicago, I know the grass in Chicago was like 8 feet long. but the linebacker is running in it too.
It was same, right, exactly.
And so it's like, okay, what is the value add? Plus Jordy Nelson is playing a lot in the slot. So what is Randall Cobb's role on this team? I don't know.
Wildcat.
I think, yeah,
he's the Wildcat guy.
Yeah.
Dear God, he's right.
if they're gonna throw a pass out of that, that's fine. But like, then get to it already. I don't need the garbage. But I think Michelle's question earlier.
Well, no. He's
really
gonna set it up for 5 games, Peter. It's gonna take another 5 games, and last game of the season we'll see the pass from Cobb. But go ahead.
Yeah. But if it's to beat the Lions to keep them out of the playoffs, it'll have all been worth it. But no, I think Michelle's question about the tight end is so salient long term on a more macro level, because we saw the difference for this offense with Jared Cook versus without him. And it's easy to forget now. I've seen a lot of Packer fans like, oh, this team would be better with Jared Cook. And it's easy to forget that the reason Jared Cook isn't on this team is because his agent screwed that up. And so it wasn't that the Packers didn't want Jared Cook back. They did. They made him an offer. And they thought they could get more, and he ended up signing with the Raiders for less money than he was offered by the Packers. So Green Bay didn't want to wait around all season, and so they signed Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks. But I think this is something, and I know you guys are with me on this, because there was a big Packers crush on why am I going to forget his name? The Michigan tight end who tore his ACL. Last year.
Oh.
Jake Butt. Come on. Who can – how
Butt.
Could I have
yeah.
forgotten that name?
Right.
I think, like, I understand why people want to get them a new, young, move tight end, because this offense moves so much better in general. I think with Aaron Rodgers and a move tight end, I mean, we saw the offense is pretty much unstoppable. And they just – that could be the difference for this team. It's just not with Brett Hundley. And the good news is Brett Hundley does not have to be the quarterback of this team any longer than a couple of weeks at most, assuming everything goes well with the collarbone. So I think you're right to wonder about Jordy Nelson, and I think the simple answer is Davante Adams is just better. He is a bona fide number one receiver. He is low-key on pace for more yards than he had last year, despite playing half his games with Brett Hundley. And the Ravens couldn't cover him. They're one of the 5 best pass defenses in football, and they couldn't cover him. So I think he's going to continue to get open and continue to do well. It is this is now where I point out that there were some Packer people, and I won't mention any names, who thought Jared Aberdera should be playing over Devontae Adams not too long ago. I'm just saying, guys.
All right, Peter.
All right, Peter. Want to thank you so much for joining us on Cheesehead Radio. Thank you. Entertaining as always. And I feel like we've all bonded over
girls and
we're all
something
together.
Else.
We're all together.
Bunch of millennial stuff. Bunch of millennials.
Yeah.
Millennial stuff.
Yeah.
Go watch Mean Girls. Totally. That's a good movie. Whatever. That's Lindsay Lohan in her
Transcends
prime.
Generation.
I have seen it, but I couldn't quote you lines from it.
That's your homework assignment for next time.
There you go. All right. Pete, thanks so much for joining us. Let's get a win next week against Pittsburgh, right?
For sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks,
all right. Excellent. All right. Thanks a lot, Peter.
Good night.
All right. Well, it's already 9:30, guys. I think it's time for our Hot Pockets already. Let's get to it.
So.
All right, Hot Pockets is the segment of our show where each of us go around the horn and talk about something that's kind of passionate to each of us. After a big loss, I'm sure we all have something that's really important on our minds, and I can't think of anything right now that's more important than my Hot Pocket, Mike Daniels, as we're dealing so much right now with accountability, talking about Mike McCarthy and Brett Hundley, is he being held accountable for his coaching, for his game calling, Hundley for his actions on the field. We have Aaron Jones taking accountability for his, pot smoking while driving. Everyone's taking accountability except one person, Mike Daniels, and that is you. I love you, man. I mean, you're great. One of my heroes. But you peed your pants. And it's pretty obvious. There are pictures all over social media. The shape of said spot on said pants. The coloration of said spot on said pants really couldn't be anything else. But you sat down with Jason Wilde today. And you said, no, I did not pee my pants. That was sweat. I don't know of any other players that have sweat rings like that. Most of them are in their armpits.
What was the temperature at Lambeau?
it was chilly. It wasn't there, but it was chilly. A lot of people
more
left.
Evidence.
Yes, more evidence. So, Mike, it's okay. You say, yeah, you know what? I'm a warrior. I didn't have time to go to the bathroom. I said, I'm just going to go. It's like being in the pool. Whatever. We do it in the pool. I can do it on the field. Whatever. Make a funny joke out of it. Whatever. But don't tell me. Come on, man. Come on. That's my
Hot Pocket.
Good timing on that one.
Thank
Michelle.
You. Well, I knew it was coming.
Right. Well, in the eternal words of Billy Madison, you ain't cool unless you pee your pants. That's another millennial thing, maybe.
More millennial movie stuff.
All right. Well, we touched on my Hot Pocket a little bit already with Peter, but I'm going to talk about it anyways. So Jordy Nelson, it's disheartening to me to see how poorly used Nelson has been since Brett Hundley took over, because I really don't want to give more fodder to the people who claim that the only reason Jordy Nelson is a, number one, number two NFL quarterback is because of Aaron Rodgers. I genuinely believe that he's, or did I say quarterback? I meant receiver. He is a talented receiver in his own right. I don't think he would necessarily go the way of a Greg Jennings if he were to leave the team. I think he could have success on other teams. But I saw a tweet from Ryan Wood that was really interesting, and it really speaks to even if it's not the reason he's good, the connection that Nelson and Rodgers have. So Jordy Nelson hasn't caught a touchdown pass since Brett Hundley started playing. But he's still tied for fourth in the NFL among touchdowns. And he has the same as Antonio Brown and A.J. Green. And these are Ryan Wood stats, which is pretty crazy. So obviously Brett Hundley isn't able to make the kinds of throws that typically get Jordy Nelson into the end zone. But I'm holding out hope that he's going to find a way to go to him, because we've seen Jordy basically on an island, waving his arm, waiting to have the ball thrown his way. And we've seen it, but Brett Hundley hasn't seen it. And so my hope is that as he continues to refine his ability to progress through his reads, he'll be able to get him more involved. So that is my
Hot Pocket.
Okay.
Jersey, Al Brocco.
Yes. I've got a question. Can we hit somebody on defense? I mean, I'm seriously going to stop watching other NFL games because I just can no longer stomach watching defensive backs from other teams, especially safeties, fly around, smoke people, break up passes, intercept passes while we retreat, allow easy receptions in front of us, and then make arm tackles 20 yards downfield. There is no intimidation factor with the Packers' defense, and there hasn't been for years, despite Mike Daniels' annual appeal in training camp for the defense to play smash mouth. Instead, we're giving out kisses on the cheek. And that is my
Hot Pocket.
Well done, sir, with the Hot Pocket sting.
He said Mike Daniels and appeal. Get it? Appeal. Mike Daniels.
Okay.
I love it. Okay.
We're all losing our minds.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
Well, I don't know about you, but I can't think of a better time for the Green Bay Packers to appear in primetime television than sending Brett Hundley at quarterback up against perhaps one of the best teams in the NFL. Certainly after last week where he managed 0 points, we know that he probably can't score less points than he did this week. But we don't know this for sure. There may be some weird... There might be some weird rule where he does. Let's take it around the horn, and what do we see? This would be weird, because I don't think in doing 7 years of this show, we've never, ever had a sweep everyone picking against the Packers. Jersey, I'll start with you. It could be.
Well, for me, this comes down to two things. The Packers secondary makes average receivers look great. What the heck are they going to do with Antonio Brown? The Steelers, and the second thing is, the Steelers are going to throw everything in the book at Brett Hundley. Has he shown the wherewithal to handle it? Despite the crazy nature of this NFL season and teams being all over the place, I don't see any way this game is close. Steelers 33, Packers 13.
Ooh. Boo.
That's definitely
Jamie
the worst
here,
score I've
she
ever
would
picked.
Boo you.
Without a doubt, that has to be the worst score I've ever picked against the Packers, without a doubt. So that's where we are. CD?
Right. I'll go next. I am hoping for the best. I really, really am. But the process of trying to start out Brett Hundley rebuilding his psyche against the Steelers, probably not the place to start. Maybe the week after, Bucks and Browns, be okay. What I'm hoping for is that we're going to start with small ball for Hundley. Going back to nickel and dime passes, the things that he did well in college, get him moving with his feet. If he needs to pick up a first down with his feet, go for it. Slide. And this keeps the ball out of defenders' hands. But it's also probably going to keep it out of our end zone. So I see a lot of field goals for the Packers in this game. The other piece of this puzzle is whether or not the defense is going to maintain what they did this past week, which was carrying the team, before it just gives up as well. Remember, this is not the most cohesive unit on the planet. They played way more cohesively last week than they have all season. Now, this could be a close game. By close game, I may maybe mean only losing by 10 points. But it also could end up being one of the biggest blowouts, worst losses in recent memory. I think if they hold it together, I'm going to say Steelers 26, Packers 9. Michelle, you're our last hope.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry to disappoint.
Oh.
But at least we're all united.
That's true. Along with Peter.
In our
yep.
misery.
Yes. At this point, it might be generous to expect that the Packers can even put up a touchdown and two field goals. Brett Hundley has shown us that he's capable of finding the end zone, but he's only done so twice through the air in four games so far this season. Meanwhile, the Packers have virtually no backfield to speak of through no fault of Jamal Williams's. So at this point, for me, it's impossible to see the Packers finding a way to put up more points than the Steelers. So my prediction is Steelers 27, Packers 13.
It's a sweep.
Oh, if Jamie were here, she would have picked the Packers.
Does hope spring that eternal?
Yeah, that's kind of Jamie. You know, she probably would. All right, guys, should we call this one?
I think so.
Let's do it. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, and thanks to Peter Bukowski for joining us once again tonight. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com, where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like the Packers Talk page on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. You can also listen in by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatching app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. Go Pack Go. Prove us wrong.
All right. We'll see you guys next week after the
All
Packers
right.
are, get a big win against the Steelers, right?
Yep. Everybody enjoy
sure.
their Thanksgiving, too.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving from all of us.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay. Go Pack Go.